But I want to talk to you specifically about learning to hear the Spirit's voice, learning to recognize the Spirit's voice. And I want to do something very different today as well. As you see, I have the laptop up here. I have a clip I want to play. It's a YouTube clip, but you don't have to see it. It's an audio clip with some distracting pictures and words, really, so you don't need to see it. And I didn't want to bother getting a screen set up with all the decorations here. But it's a very incredibly powerful story from David Gibbs. I don't know if any of you recognize that name, but I think it's David Gibbs Jr. that's doing the talking. His father started Christian Law Association, and now it's run by David Gibbs III, I think. And it's a Christian Law Association that helps churches with serious legal battles. And they'll even take time and talk to pastors if they have legal questions. And I've actually called them. And they will have one of their attorneys call you, and they don't charge anything for that. So they're a really good organization. But this is a story he shares, and I'm going to share that at the end. But today there is so many voices clamoring for our attention. We live in a world of complete chaos. And if we're not careful to hear the Spirit's voice, we can be easily blown off track, off course spiritually. So I'd like to start our scripture lesson with John chapter 10. And Jesus in this story tells the famous story, in this chapter he tells this famous story of the shepherd and the sheep. And most didn't realize he was referring to himself as the shepherd, and then he told them. And he compared the shepherd then to robbers and thieves, and how the shepherd helps and the robbers and thieves destroy. And then he had an interaction with some local Jews that were being pretty combative. And that starts in verse 22 of John chapter 10. Now it was the feast of the dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounding him said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus is plainly telling them, "Look, I already told you who I was. You didn't believe me. Your hearts weren't open." He then goes on to use the sheep comparison, this time plainly referring to believers as the sheep. If someone didn't believe, then they're not one of his sheep. If someone does believe, then they know his voice and they follow him. So then skip down to chapter 14. And this is where Jesus is starting to explain how his Father is going to arrange for all of mankind to have access to him at all times, if they choose to follow him. And honestly, because of the day and age we live in, I don't think we grasp the incredible thing our Savior did for us. Look with me in verse 16, John 14, 16 and 17. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The story of Jesus' ascension is recorded in the first chapter of Acts. And Jesus promised that he would send his Spirit. And he told his disciples his Spirit would come upon them and they would have power to do his will and to witness and proclaim his love throughout the world. And I realize many times when we pray, we use words like, "Dear Father," "Dear Jesus," "Oh God," "Dear Lord," you know, things like that. But to be very clear, if you don't already know, we're praying to the Holy Spirit. That's who we're praying to. That's who Jesus left with us to be our intercessor to heaven. We are communicating with his Spirit. So when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit moves into our hearts, and we communicate with God the Holy Spirit after salvation. And yes, I'm making an explanation that could be very complicated, very short. But you know, Jesus wanted it that way. He wanted it simple. We as humans make this so difficult, though. It's very important that we know this, moving into this lesson, that we clearly know that we communicate with the Holy Spirit in prayer. And it's vital that we learn to know His voice. I want to spend some time here this morning talking about some various voices, and I just came up with a few that are vying for our attention. And to be clear, these are all orchestrated from the enemy in some form or another to distract us from listening to the Spirit's voice. And the first voice I thought of is the voice of doubt or guilt or shame. I would imagine that everyone here at some time has had the enemy come in and try to sow seeds of doubt or guilt or shame over something that you have done in your past. And I'm sure everyone has heard and possibly even used these statements like, God can't love me, I've done too much. Or, I'm not good enough. How could He love someone like me? I don't know if you recognize these words, but it's a very powerful song. It says, I keep fighting the voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again who I am because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, you say I am yours. And I believe what you say of me. Good song, huh, Kitty? Satan loves to come and bring discouragement, whatever he can, however he can, trying to convince us we're worthless is one of his tactics. But we have this beautiful promise in Ephesians, and I just want you to listen to these words. I'm sure you recognize some of them. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's nothing we have done. It's all about what he did. So yeah, we're nothing. We're not good enough. We're really not. Yeah, think yourself as worthless, as no good. Yeah, that's exactly what we are. But God. When Satan comes and tries to get us to listen to the voice of doubt or guilt, tell him about Jesus and what he did and say, hey, he paid the bill. Then maybe the voice of temptation is another voice that can try to get our attention. And Satan's been using the voice of temptation since the beginning of time, and we know that story. You know, Adam and Eve, they had it great. I mean, perfect. They talked to God every single day in person. They knew his voice, but yet they chose to listen to the voice of Satan disguised as a serpent. The voice of temptation is very real. Satan knows when to use it, how to use it, and usually it's when we are at our weakest. But before you start getting down on yourself, oh, I'm being tempted, I must be no good. Well, Jesus Christ was tempted himself when he was at his weakest. And it is through his example that we can learn that he gives us the power to defeat Satan by listening to his voice, listening to Christ's voice, his spirit. Paul gives us some great advice in the book of Corinthians, and bear in mind that the Corinthian church was in pretty rough shape. And Paul told them this in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overcome you, except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. He's not saying you won't be tempted, just that he's provided a way for you to overcome it. So when Satan tries to use the voice of temptation, remember to tell him that Jesus Christ went before. You tried to get him to fall, and we're listening to his voice within us. And then there's a pretty universal voice today, and that's the voice of fear. Satan's been using the voice of fear, again, since the beginning of time, to cripple anyone that would normally turn to God and get them caught up in fear. Several examples come to mind when I think about stories throughout Scripture, how fear controlled people. The 10 spies gave a fearful report. They could no way take Jericho. Well, look what happened there. Abraham was afraid and had his wife lie about who she was so they didn't get in trouble. That didn't turn out very well for him. The Israelite army, when Goliath was scaring them to death, they fled like cowards. And a little scrawny shepherd boy showed him that fear is crippling you. And I think of Pilate when he was too afraid to stand up and do what was right and simply turn the Savior over to the crowd. Now, obviously, that was the Lord's will, and that turned out in our favor for sure. I think of our world today, and I think, is fear rampant today? Do you know what sells the best? Next immorality is fear. And I decided I just Google or check a couple local news sites and just see what I read. Let me read a couple. These were on Wednesday, I think. 14-year-old accused of online threat that closed Waynesboro schools. You heard about that one? Newburgh woman killed. Husband, the suspect, dies in officer-involved shooting. Franklin County man accused of exposing himself, trying to lure two girls into his van. Deadly parasailing crash was absolutely preventable. Man, I'm getting my tongue tangled up. Tulsa shooting suspect intended to kill doctor and anyone else who got in his way. Now, all of those articles, those headlines, they're all negative. That's how it sells. If you're concerned about the rising cost of living, then you'll be sure to find some grim predictions online. They'll be there for you. If gas prices have you worried, then check the news out because it'll lift your spirits for sure. If you think the world is in dire shape, and it absolutely is, be sure to check out social media and you'll just feel so much better. All around us, the world is paralyzed by fear. Fear keeps us from doing what is right. And I'm not saying you need to act like buffoons and do something rash and dangerous, but we don't need to be living in a corner somewhere hoping the boogeyman will go away soon. Satan wants to paralyze us with fear, and he uses so many sources to do so. But we have many promises in God's Word that shows that our Lord is bigger than fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We don't need to live in fear. In fact, when Satan tries to cripple us with the voice of fear, quote some of those verses I just read. Then we have the voice of confusion. Right next to fear being rampant, the other crippling factor today in the world is confusion. And I could spend a lot of time on this subject because it's passionate for me. But we are inundated with a constant stream of instant information. And while this can be very beneficial, it can also be extremely damaging because that means false information is just as acceptable as the good information. And there are scores of sources that are spreading nothing but blatant lies today. Sad facts that people are just being sucked into it. And I've seen this happen more and more frequently, and it breaks my heart to see people fall for these gimmicks. Satan is using the voice of confusion so well today. He's causing people to be confused on subjects that they once thought were true, and then they are falling for blatant lies. And it is greatly burdening my heart. As I said, I could go on and on about this, but I'll just leave this verse that Paul gave the Corinthian church. Again, dealing with some pretty crazy stuff and a lot of confusion that broke out there. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. If there is something you are uncertain about and wonder, am I reading or hearing, is this correct? Remember this verse. God's not wanting you to be confused. Go back to His Word and see if it lines up with His Word. See if it jives with His truth. He alone is the truth and the way. Listen to His voice, not the voice of confusion. And then I want to wrap my portion up with just talking briefly about the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's the voice we need to be listening to. And granted, I couldn't begin to tell you all that's to be said about the Holy Spirit in 3-4 paragraphs that I have here. But I want to encourage you to listen to His voice. The question is, ask many times, how do I know when the Spirit is speaking? How do I learn what His voice sounds like? The answer, by learning to know Him. The more you learn about Him, the more you study His Word, the more you will recognize when He's speaking. I'm firmly also convinced that everyone hears the Spirit's voice differently. He has unique ways of talking to each person and to get their attention, and He works with each person's personality. I don't know how that works. I'm just convinced that's how it works. And you need to learn that for yourself. I can't tell you what His voice sounds like. I'm not about to stand up and, oh, this is exactly what the Spirit sounds like when He's talking, because it's not going to work for you. But one thing I will tell you, you won't learn to hear the Spirit's voice if you keep listening to all those other voices out there that are causing so much distraction. If we're so caught up in all the sources of false information, they're going to drown out the Spirit's voice, and you're not going to learn to hear Him. I just want to tell you a personal experience I had recently with listening to the Spirit's voice, and I hope you understand the Spirit. I'm telling you this. It's not to lift myself up in any means. It's just my journey in learning to hear the Spirit's voice. And He's taught me how to recognize His voice. Different occasions, I feel like I need to do something, I need to say something, I need to say, do you need to come pray, if I'm conducting a service, or I need to make a phone call. And just this feeling, I can't describe it, I don't know what it is, it's just I need to do it, and I've learned that's the Spirit talking to me. And if I don't act on it, then I know I've not listened to Him. So I've learned, if I ever feel that way, act on it. And I'll try to share this is for the entire audience to hear, I'll put it that way. I was at a youth camp last year, and we had an altar service, and some people were praying, and one of the fellow young guys, a good friend of mine, grabbed me and pulled me close and said he needed to talk. He was dealing with something, and I asked him what it was, and I said, well, we're not going to pray about that here. Let's go outside. So we went outside and talked, and it was a moral issue he was struggling with, and I talked with him for a while, and he told me about some other guys that were struggling. And as I was walking back into the tabernacle to close the service, I had this odd feeling that I need to tell the guys in the group, if you're struggling, meet me tomorrow night and we're going to talk and pray about it. But I was like, how am I supposed to share something about just for guys in a group that's mixed? And I didn't know how it was going to go, but I felt like, you need to do this. You need to listen to God's voice. And so I did. I said, this is really weird. I don't know how I'm supposed to do this, but I expressed my heart and said, if you are struggling morally with, and I explained what was a little bit, I said, you meet me tomorrow night. And I thought, if these guys are serious, we'll give a day and a half just to have them stew over it. I said, we'll do it after church tomorrow night. And I had 25 guys approximately show up for that meeting. And it was such an incredible blessing to know Spirit talked, I listened, and this is what He did. And it was just so incredible to be a part of that. And I'm not saying that to lift myself up, just the fact that learning to know the Spirit's voice is incredible. And I challenge you, learn to know God, and He will let you know what His voice sounds like. Now, to wrap this up, I'd like to play this clip and just make sure the volume's up on 19, Nelson, because it's going to start right away.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. And a pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here and I fly a small airplane and I can take you in my little airplane and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, 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 you got to do it. You got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it. And I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up. And it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, we're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and you can't see anything. And he looks at me and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now I grabbed him and I shook him and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now we're in the clouds flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there and I handed him the microphone and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell them that's correct. Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you. Because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm gonna get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we gotta do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die. But I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop. And the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room at about 4 in the morning. They knock at my door. And I open the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy. I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands.
It's vital that you learn to hear the Spirit's voice. This world is destructing all around us, and we need to learn the Spirit's voice. And if you don't, you'll crash and burn. And I can't emphasize that enough. I hope this was a blessing to you. It came about because of, I'm going to tell the story quickly. Sunday, we went back to Mom and Dad's. We're going back to Mom and Dad's for Memorial Day, and I felt impressed to stop at Jimmy Keaton's, which most of you know him. He obviously has struggled with cancer, and he was in remission, and they found spots on his lungs, and they were very concerned about it, and he was going to go in and get biopsies done on Tuesday, and I felt impressed that I needed to stop and pray with him. So I did on Sunday night, and he really appreciated it, and got to Dad's, and he said, well, I need to have a pastoral duty for you on tomorrow night. I said, what's that? He said, I need you to come over with me and anoint Jimmy. I said, well, I just prayed with him. He said, well, you can come over then too. I said, okay. So I went over with them, several from their church, and we prayed and I anointed him, and he shared that story. And I hadn't watched it up until that point, but it really touched him. And I played it, and as I was playing it, I started getting the idea for this message, and I just felt like this is what we needed to hear today. So I just trust that you'll grow to know Jesus Christ more and more to the point where when His Spirit talks to you, you know it, and you obey it. And it won't be an issue that you're distracted with so many voices out there because Satan's throwing so many, and I just named a few. I think we've come up with a lot more. So I'd like to have a closing word of prayer over this message, and then we'll move forward with our other prayer time.